one towards the goal. That's going to be blocked by Travis Wigeon.
Well, this is more like it.
This is Slang in the Biscuit. Here's Travis Wigeon and Dave Wheeler.
Is Donair not like the greatest food in Canada?
I had a joint in my neighborhood growing up in Fort McMurray, Alberta, called Joma's. And my God, the Donairs that they would make. I can't even begin to tell you how good these Donairs were. And yeah, the Joma family in Fort McMurray. Anyone who's had one is really good. Really good pizza subs, too. We ordered from that place so much that it got to the point where they'd pick up the phone, they'd recognize our phone number and say, yeah, no problem, it'll be there in 20 and hang up.
That's it. Just, yeah, right in 20. See you later.
Yeah, yeah, they knew exactly what we wanted. It was a pretty standard order, and that Donair was always on that list.
Oh, you ever seen the movie Goon, Dave?
I'm signing autographs after the show. Yeah, I was the sportscaster in that movie. Wait, what's going on with Goon?
Doug was my first customer. Everybody, Donair sauce on the house. Water down the Donair sauce.
Everybody, Donair on the house tonight. Huh? All right. So you anything, buddy. Huh? Pardon me. Donair sauce on the house, everybody. Don't get excited. Donair sauce. Water down the Donair sauce.
Still a great movie, man. It holds up.
10 years later, incredible movie. By the way, welcome to Sling the Biscuit. This is going to be episode 45. I don't know any goalies that have ever worn the number 45, but my co-host, his name is Dave Wheeler. He is slicing and dicing up in the city of Winnipeg, the number one morning radio show in the entire city. He only has one function in the eye, the other, I guess, unemployed for the better half of two decades. I'm Travis Wigeon, the former starting right bench for the Motor City Rockers, now for the Withville Express professional hockey team, and we're happy to have you here on the podcast with us this week.
By the way, that's one thing that I always take a lot of pride in. Like, when we went on road trips, we were taking buses that had three video screens, and they were the old tube ones, tiny tube ones, like maybe 14, not even, maybe 12-inch TVs. There's one at the front of the bus, one in the middle, and then one towards the back. And when we watched movies together as a team on the bus and laughed together. Your generation has, one's got a Wii, one's got a Switch, one's got a, you know, all these different things to keep you entertained with. And you guys don't really watch movies together on the bus anymore.
No, absolutely we do. In the Fed Zeno, it is a third world country. It's still, you know, 2005 on these bus road trips. Like, when we went to Delaware this year, I don't know who it was, somebody brought Ted 1 and Ted 2, and we just watched both movies all the way to Delaware. I watched them twice, I think it was. We love movies. And we got that same 8-inch, well, I guess this is about 8 inches, right? That 8-inch screen. If you're on the video version, you'll see what I'm doing. This is about 8, right? give or take.
We converted it from centimeters here in Canada.
Let's be honest, men have been messing up measurements for hundreds of years, and I am no exception to the rule. But
that actually makes me really happy. I'm happy to hear that's still happening, because I was afraid that would have went the way of the dinosaur with all this modern technology.
Actually, on that same road trip, I got a great story for you. This actually never made it to the vlog. Maybe I can find some video in the archives on one of my hard drives and throw it up on the video version of the podcast if you're on YouTube. But so that same Delaware road trip, the night before, because we leave for our bus trips around midnight, give or take, and we just had like team Thanksgiving dinner, the whole group, all the fellas sitting around the table, turkey, ham, Thanksgiving, stuffing, gravy, sweet potato casserole, everything. Like a huge, incredible feast. The incredible Booster Club members, the moms, everyone in the community that pitched in made an incredible meal, but we had so much that we couldn't eat it all. We had leftovers, right? So what do you think we did? Well, we boxed everything up, threw it under the bus, and for the whole road trip to Delaware, guys get hungry, we just pull the bus over on the side of the road, open up the hatch, pull out some turkey, go back on the bus, and guys were crushing. I will say, though, because obviously I'm a rookie, I was in charge of putting the turkey and everything underneath. This is 100% a fine in Withville when I go there for the start of the season. But and they will post-date it from like last season to this season. But I'm putting the boxes under, and I open up one of the boxes, and I'm like, oh my God, there's all the cheesecake. So I took the cheesecake, I took everything out, and I buried it right in the bottom. So then when, you know, rolled around 8, 9 in the morning or whatever, I'm hungry, we're getting a snack, I just went right to the back, I pulled out the cherry and the blueberry cheesecake, and I went to town. The all-you-can-eat, it was great. Selfish guy right here.
No, no, listen, that's if you're going to be the food handler, then to the victor go the spoils.
Hey, shoot or shoot, right? That's where the saying comes from, no?
Hey, you said something in there that I'm glad you brought up, and I wanted to get this out of the way early, but I come to you hat in hand, Southwest Virginia. I come to you with an apology from the bottom of my heart. It is Withville, not Wytheville. I was really praying it was going to be Wytheville, but it's not. It's Withville. So Withville, congratulations on getting your team, and hurry up and get your barn built.
Dave, you suck.
Who said that? You hear that? Somebody in the back?
Enough out of the peanut gallery.
But yeah, that's going to be exciting going in the Wyattville for this season. You want to start off with a little bit of FPHL news, or do you want to get into...
We just went over this. Withville.
You know, can I tell you who told me the pronunciation first? I want to lay the blame there because that's where I heard it, and it's kind of been in my head since. Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Motor City morning skate this season, probably 10, 15 minutes before practice. Josh Colton, D-Man of the Year in 2018, by the way, for the Port Huron Prowlers, legend in the FPHL. He says, fellas, you know, there's going to be two new teams, Baton Rouge and Wyattville. Now, I'm going off, you know, he won D-Man of the Year. Of course, you know, he's got to know how to spell, right? Or at least pronounce names. Now, have some form of geography. He's played around the league. He would know these things, right? Well, it turns out, apparently not. And shame on me to the town of Withville, all the people that reached out. I want to also say, so I found out recently that Withville is a town of 8,000 people, and I probably had 50-plus-ish people reach out. And I'm going to guess off the top of my head that's about 0.5% of the population have reached out from Withville about how excited they are for the new team, about everything that they just, they don't, I want to put this very delicately, but it doesn't seem like they have a lot of entertainment, a lot of things to be excited about around there. So I'm really excited to be a part of that and try to bring some excitement to the community and kind of bring the community together through some NASCAR and ice, as we like to call it here on the podcast. Right, Dave?
Absolutely. And I will say this, and now again, I got in trouble last week speaking on behalf of the Withvillians. But if I had to take a guess, I would assume, because I had a look into the geography of it a little bit when we were talking a little bit about it on the last podcast, but the fact that you're very densely populated through that area, the bigger towns or the bigger cities, you know, we're talking like the 15,000-20,000 ones like Roanoke and whatnot, they're going to get more of the big, let's put it, Roanoke, it's got whatever. So they have to travel. It's not like it's a far drive. It's like an hour to get there, wherever. But the fact that Withville now has their own shit, it's like, oh, people are going to be coming to us now. Like, we're not forgotten anymore. We got stuff. You can come to us. I think it's that kind of attitude.
We don't need you anymore. Come on down.
Yeah, exactly. Drive on in from Roanoke.
Which is exciting, too. We actually have some new developments as well with the team in Virginia. So you'll see this in the video version. If you're on the audio version, I'm going to do my best to describe it to you, obviously with the help of Dave. I know he only has one eye, but he can still see out of that one eye. So we're going to try to do a little picture-in-picture with the three eyes that we collectively have on this show. So... I'm so sorry.
I'm such an asshole. There's an eye in my name, David, so technically I have two.
Okay, well, there we go. It counts for something. So the team in Withville, Virginia, does not have a rink. Now, it's not that there's nothing there, and it's just like empty ground, but we have some pictures here in the video version. They've recently broke ground on the arena. Well, not recently. They did break ground, and they're, you know, doing some construction work to it. Now, you'll see in the video version, there is no ice. There is no concrete. It's just a bunch of dirt. There is some excavators and some tractors in there and a nice big American flag, which is awesome. The arena does look a little bit smaller. So, Dave, do you have any guesses for capacity? I'm going to guess 1,000, maybe?
Well, 1,200? when I was looking into it last week, I'm pretty sure it's at about 800 currently. So I think what they're doing is they're actually shifting where the ice is. I think this was a... likely, well, ground base, and I've been fortunate enough to build a couple of rinks in my day working at the hockey arenas and whatnot, something else you and I have in common, they're probably going to put concrete in because they probably use this a lot for rodeo, but they're probably going to expand the seating to go down the back wall and almost have it kind of like shaped like an L, or maybe even like a horseshoe would be my guess.
How about this for opening night? Me as a member of the Withville Express, we're going to dominate Carolina opening night for a home opener. And then I, Travis Ridgen, will wrestle a bull when we're gonna cover the ice and we're gonna put the dirt over top. In my equipment, I will wrestle a bull.
Oh man, if you get the nickname Matador for the entire season, that would be amazing.
What if after the whole endeavor with the bull, my nickname becomes Red Nut Ridgen?
Yeah. Then you have to play for the Red Sticks, Travis.
Which, by the way, actually, that's a great transition point, Dave. So the Baton Rouge Pro Hockey Team, I have received exclusive information. You're going to hear this on the show first. You won't hear this anywhere else. I was told not to cite my source. But the Baton Rouge Pro Hockey Team does have an official name, Dave. Are you ready?
Okay, hang on. Let me get set up here. I got to be prepared for this. Okay, go.
The Baton Rouge Bayou Blues. The BRBB.
Bayou? The Bayou Blues?
Bayou, sorry. Bayou, okay. Bayou, my bad. Too many bucks off the head. And their head coach, by the way, Trevor Karasiewicz. I totally butchered that. Karasiewicz is the head coach in Baton Rouge. He won a championship in the FHL, the original Federal League, with the Daytona team. And yeah, he's going to be their head coach in Baton Rouge. I messed all that up. There's a reason I can't read, Dave. Jesus.
Good with numbers, though.
Wow. Barely. By the way, I'm struggling.
Why does it say Craig Berube?
Is he our head coach?
Because he was the coach of the Blues. That makes sense. I'm just trying to find the article here. I want to try and outpronounce that name for you, but I can't see. Is it on the main website?
No, that's not announced. That's not public yet. That's just you? Information.
Wow.
That's breaking news right here. I'm the FPHL's Frank Saravalli.
Wow, impressive.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, this is not kind of breaking news. So, me and Dave are going to be going forward, calling the team the Withville Express. Reason being, I love trains. We came up with this last week. I think the team should be called the Withville Express, which, by the way, was the professional team in Withville 13 years ago. The Withville Express, or was it the Roanoke Express? I can't remember which one it was. But they ended up, obviously, folding. No pro hockey in Withville since. So, I say from this point forward, we're going to call it the Withville Express, and we're going to will this into reality. We're going to be a 1993 Los Angeles Kings jersey with this big black locomotive, and we'll be the Express. What do you say, Dave?
If it already has a namesake there, I love it. I really do. I love recycling names like that, especially if there's still a fan base. I think that's fantastic. I do like the fan art that was sent in, the Withville Generals, which I think looked really cool. When I first said it, I went, oh, is that it? Is that the name? And you went, no, that was just fan art. But I went, immediately thought that would look great on a uni.
Absolutely. And we'll put in the video version. But if in the very rare case that the Barry Soskins or the management of the Withville Pro Hockey team see this and say, damn it, Ridgen, shut up and start filling the water bottles. Yes, we will put the Withville Express to the side, but the Withville Generals, this is a fan-made, a member in the Withville community came up with this with the Withville Generals. How kick-ass does that logo look? Like, it is so badass.
Mm-hmm. I like it. Instead of the saber, he's got a hockey stick coming out of the bottom of the sword. Amazing. I love it.
What do you think of like color wise? Like, it looks like a great logo, but do you think like a black and silver, blue and red? Like Columbus Blue Jackets kind of stood out to me as like a color scheme for that.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you really want to get into it, I was really kind of on the fence about what the LA Kings did and what the Vegas Golden Knights did with those really, really shiny domes that they were wearing for...
No, we're not bringing that to the FPHL. We don't have the budget. We don't have the money. We got one helmet only.
Just a white helmet, that's it?
That's it, a white helmet. Wear it for home and away games. If you lose it, you're going bucket list, sorry.
Then you know what? Go with a nice cream, like the Boston Bruins, like that yellow, but more of like a pastel cream color. Trying to think who did a really good job of that on their outdoor game. I can't remember if it was the Heritage Classic or if it was the Winter Classic, but one of them had like a really nice cream-colored jersey.
What about Nashville or Detroit? They have the yellow buckets. They wear them for home and away games, Detroit, Carolina. They wear the red buckets for home and away as well.
I like that. I've always liked that. I remember back in the day when the Western League, you only got one helmet, and they would put the white and the whatever your color was, so you could wear it in both home and away.
I like the white look, I think, personally. But, hey, we're tight budgets in the FPHL.
Yeah. So is there a day, or do we know when the announcement's coming down for the team name, or we're going to wait for the rink to get built?
I don't know. I still haven't had anybody from the team reach out, and it's been over a week. So I don't know. My guess is just as good as yours. I've been talking to a couple, well, at least one of the guys who's also picked up by Withville, and he was asking the same thing. Anybody have any word, any news? Nobody knows. There was an email sent out to everybody drafted from the vice president of the FPHL saying, hey, we're going to be finalizing coach and GM very shortly. There should be somebody reaching out soon. So just stay patient if you haven't heard anything back. So that's the best update I can tell you. But in the meantime, while I wait to hear from the team and with Phil and for us to hire management and a coach, I will continue sweating, and I don't want to have my balls sticking to the side of my leg, which is why I wear sheath underwear. Right, Dave?
Listen, when it comes to sheath underwear, I can tell you that if you get this for your father, your father figure, your whoever, for Father's Day, they're going to be happy humans. But they may not thank you the time, like, oh, cool underwear, especially if they don't know sheath, and then they're going to figure out sheath, and then they're going to figure out life shortly thereafter. So if you want to give dad a real good Father's Day gift, give him a gift that'll help him figure out life.
Absolutely. Father's Day is only a couple days away. You can still pick it up with some last-minute shipping. Get the best underwear money can buy. Sheath is the official presenting sponsor for the show. They have been since day one. They're an incredible company backed by a U.S. Marine who created them, who founded them. He was spending time in Iraq, Afghanistan, couldn't change his gitch for 6 months, or excuse me, 6 weeks plus. Robert was his name. Boom. Sheath underwear, the dual pouch so your dick and balls aren't sticking to the side of your leg, the bamboo mesh so you're cool and you're comfortable. And there's a reason it's called Sheath, because it is truly the razor's edge in technology for men's underwear and for just keeping yourself comfortable, especially when you don't know if your team's going to sign you or trade your rights or whatever may happen. But Sheath will keep you calm, cool, and collected on those hot, hot summer nights when you're a member of the Withville Express or the Withville Generals. Oh, I almost forgot too. Link in the video description, there's a code BISKIT69. I forgot that's the whole reason we do these ads, is to give you a code. BIZKIT69 is going to get you the 20% off code for Sheath Underwear. It's a link in the video description as well as the podcast notes. And thank you as always to Sheath for presenting the podcast.
Now, Travis Ridgen, I have a question for you.
Yes, I have answers, hopefully.
It's kind of on the heels of something that we've talked about on this show before, and I actually talked on my traditional or heritage or legacy morning show, radio, the other day. But are you familiar with, we talked about Caitlin DeMater, the goaltender who's now an Instagram model and an OnlyFans and all that kind of stuff.
Michaela?
Michaela DeMater, thank you. Talked about
her
on the
show. Focus on other things.
Yeah, you're right. Paige Spiriniak, are you familiar with her?
As of this morning when you brought her to my attention, but yes, I'm very familiar now.
Okay, so she is a golf influencer on the Instagrams and the YouTubes and TikToks and everything, and she is a stunningly beautiful woman, like stunning beautiful. She had Maxim magazine. She's on the cover of Maxim magazine. So if you're thinking, why do I know that name? That's probably where you know it from. She has been getting a lot of DMs, you know, more popularity you get. It's the way it works in any industry. If you get more popular, there's more people that are going to try and pull you down. So she was getting DMs going, what are you, a golfer or a stripper? Because she wears she wears stuff to code for the golf course when she goes out and plays. But on her Instagram, she'll wear a low-cut shirt. Yeah, she knows what she's doing. And so people kept calling her, are you a stripper or are you a golfer? Like, what are you having people watch for? So she did this incredible YouTube video where she went down to a strip club and did this whole tongue-in-cheek kind of thing where she's like, you know what? It's time for me to figure out what I really am. Am I a stripper or am I a golfer? And watching her do this comedy bit, I think, was a very gracious way to handle it. But it brought me to thinking. I know we talk about a lot of the incentives on the Patreon page and whatnot. You're a pretty handsome devil, and there's a lot of people that follow the YouTube version of this. I'm curious to know if you would throw in a little bonus on the old Patreon page there for maybe a little sheath underwear shoot.
Come opening night in Withville, before the game starts, we'll do the promotional stuff for it. Me at center ice, laying
wrestling
on my side.
Bear.
Well, this is after I wrestle a bear the bull as well. All the wildlife in the area, I'll take care of them after the game. If I live, we'll do this photo shoot. But me with the Playboy pose on my side at center ice, butt naked, wearing nothing except a puck that projects out to cover my manly area with maybe like a nice sheath sign beside me. And we'll sell that maybe for, I don't know, $20. I'm hoping that enough people buy it.
I love that you already have a price in your head. I don't know, $20.
You've seen Toy Story 2, right? You seen Toy Story 2?
Yeah.
You know when when Woody goes down to the yard sale to try to save Wheezy?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, he's committing suicide. Hey, $25 ain't bad.
From the mouth of Don Rickles. That was Don Rickles' character. Oh my God. You know what? I like the way I was like, yeah, just take a picture in your underwear. You're like, center ice, nothing but pucks, $20. I'm going to take this up to the next level and then discount myself.
You know, I was telling two of the guys that I skate with now, I'm doing a pro group skate, and this is the first week that I've been facing real shooters since I had hip surgery, so it's over 6 months. But I was telling the guys, because you know, one of the guys, he played in the American League last year, so he's making $150,000 to $140,000 U.S. a year after the taxes with the agent fees. He's probably taking home 75, so 90,000, maybe 95,000 he's taking home Canadian, give or take. And I was telling him, I was like, so I only make 125 U.S. a week, and he's like, that's it? Yeah, that's it. It's nothing else. That's it. There's no other money to be found. And he's like, oh, so what do you do during the season for money? And I'm like, I do this vlog. This is why I have these cameras and the podcast, all this kind of stuff. So, but to bring it back to that, That is why I'm willing to sell myself butt-ass naked in the middle of the Withville Forum with a puck covering my dong and a pair of sheath underwear in the background for $20. If enough people buy it, though, we could sell out the arena.
You know what? Maybe wait till mid-season, see how the crowds are first, and if you need someone to drag the people in, maybe. But why don't we start and see what the interest level is for all of our Patreon members? Maybe we create a new level of subscription. Maybe it's a $50 one.
There is. Maybe we debut a Sling the Biscuit mug. I finally did my job. Dave, how does this look?
Boy.
What do you think?
Show them the good side.
Oh. So the Sling the Biscuit mug, if you're a Patreon member, you get to sip your coffee in the morning. There's still coffee grinds in here from this morning when my woman was drinking out of this. But then when you're done, you put it in the dishwasher. Boom. Right there. Smiling right back at you. The snack that smiles back. Me. The Sling the Biscuit podcast.
Is that exclusively for Patreon members?
They're not for sale yet, but it's a Patreon exclusive. So you get the mug, and the Sling the Biscuit, nice white fluffy, hoodie if you're a Patreon member. So what we were doing was, for $5 a month, if you've been a member for 2 months plus, or if you just joined today for $10, you're gonna get the new collector set trading piece or trading cards collector set. There's two holographic cards from my Motor City and my Varberg days, as well as a whole regular piece from Flemingsberg in Sweden, my college time at VIU, junior in Arberg and Lundar as well, and then the original rookie cards as well. So $5 a month if you've been a member for 2 months, or if you've just joined for $10, you're going to get that all for free. And then $20 a month will get you the mug, the sweater, all the cards, everything, the exclusive Patreon episode that we're doing once a month, I believe, maybe once every month, month and a half. And then you'll probably get the picture of me butt naked in the middle of the Withville Forum if you're lucky for $20 a month as well. So
is that what we're calling it? The Forum? The Withville Forum?
Well, what do you call it? The barn? What else do you call it? The Withville Withville Arena?
The rodeo grounds.
The Withville Fairgrounds Coliseum.
I love it. Coliseum.
It's got 1,000 seats, the Coliseum.
Looks like they're building you guys a new dressing room, too. That's nice.
I mean, it beats getting changed on garbage cans and chairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, been there, done that. So is it
Speaking of.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go. Let's keep this express train on the rails.
Ooh, I like that. We'll finish with a little train talk at the end. Don't worry, I have some hot takes on the Canadian rail systems after. But for the time being, this is the reason you came to the show for this week. And this is the headliner. So let's talk about the Motor City Rockers. So I'm no longer a member of the Motor City Rockers, which, does it feel weird to hear me say that, Dave? It feels weird to say it, that I'm no longer a Motor City Rocker.
As long as I've been doing this podcast, I've only known you as a Motor City Rocker.
So is it weird that the tide has changed and I'm a Withville Express? What am I? Am I an Express, an Expresser, an Expressian? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm an Express. Yeah. I'm an Express.
I'm a locomotive.
Yeah.
I'm a straight diesel locomotive.
I don't know if it's weird because after your injury took you out for half the season, as much as you were still a Motor City Rocker, you were kind of, you know, in that point going, you know, I don't know about next season. You were in that right after surgery, I'm not sure what I'm going to do situation. So a change, I don't think necessarily, I'm allowed to be happy, but I'm not allowed to be surprised. How about that?
You can be either or. You're not the player here. You're my coach. You can say whatever you want. There's nothing you can't say on this show. It's me who has to be careful what he says sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just I think you kind of, I'm not going to say you manifested, but you knew there was an expansion draft coming up. You knew that, you know, they had already kind of replaced you in Motor City and they were not looking to go for a third goaltender. So, I mean, I think the writing was on the wall. So, again, not overly surprised. Would have been great to see you stay there. I know you really enjoyed it and you had great tales to tell and you made some good friendships, but I am not shocked to see that you are with another franchise.
Well, like I'm a loyalty kind of guy. It's how I was raised. It's how I am. It's how I've always been. It's why, you know, the old version of podcast lasted as long as it did. And it's why, like, Dave has been my guy since day one. And we've been going with the podcast as long as we have. It's, you know, like, I like to be loyal to those that are good to me. And, you know, the Motor City Rockers are no different. Like, Motor City, specifically our GM, Nick Field, gave me a chance when nobody else would. And can we tell that story? You want to just back it up? We'll do a quick start to finish Motor City recap real quick, Dave.
Give me some more context there, Travis Ridden.
Okay. So I finished the 2021-22 season in Sweden, right? Things were going great. Love Sweden. It's still one of my favorite places on earth. Problem is that they added import rules where if you wanted to play as an import, you had to be on a working visa. Now, I'd been on a working visa previously, but that was during the COV season where nobody was applying. Nobody was allowed to travel. Nobody was doing anything. So I applied for it, and I had my working visa in about 3 weeks. Fast forward to last year, guys that were applying end of April, beginning of May, weren't getting approved until like beginning of October, mid to end October, right? So it was a long, long process. And if you didn't have that in place as an import, you couldn't play. And you could practice, but you could not play in games. And on top of that, the teams were paying a $5,000 fee to have you, you had to have your transfer card. They're paying for the visa. They're paying for all this type of stuff. So the investment was so high. There's a reason why you saw so many guys playing in Sweden Division 2, Division 3 coming over to the FPHL this season, because nobody was going back to Sweden. And I was no different. So I knew Sweden most likely wasn't going to be happening. It's probably end of June, beginning of July-ish. Talking to my agent, and he's like, hey, I want you to try and apply for some of the free agent camps and just put your player profile information with all the teams just so that they have it, and I can kind of make some phone calls and go from there. I said, okay, cool. So it's like a Sunday night. I send everything off to every single team, my info, height, weight, email, stats, previous playing history, Tinder profile, all this kind of stuff that they care about in the Fed, criminal previous criminal history, all this type of stuff. And so I send that off Sunday night. Monday morning, I get an email back from Nick Field, our now GM in Motor City, saying, hey, want to talk. Are you curious if you want to sign? An email that led to a call where we talked about that. And I said, I want to talk to my agent. We kind of go back and forth on a couple things. And then within 2-3 days, I was signed. I was ready to go for the probably, I want to say end of June, beginning of July. I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was in that time frame. And so I signed. Obviously, I'm dealing with the hip and knee injuries that have kind of slowly starting to catch up with me at this point in time. I hadn't skated for 3 months because I just took the whole part of the summer off of skating, just focus on my fitness. Get back on the ice, injuries are still there. End up realizing, maybe September-ish, end of August, like, this isn't going to go the way that I want. I just seen the surgeon. He's telling me how bad things are going to be. I'm not going to finish the season, so I'm going to take as many cortisone shots as I can get to get through the season as much as I can, because I want to play. I've been given a really good opportunity in a time when all these imports are trying to come over to, or I guess, yeah, import players trying to come over to North America, and there's no opportunities. I haven't given one. It'd be a shame to waste this opportunity. And again, I want to be loyal to those that are good to me. I've been given an opportunity. Things went the way that they did in Motor City, which we have documented in this podcast since basically day one when I got there, and they're on the video version of the vlog as well. And then it just got to the point where I couldn't play anymore. My knee, which was a byproduct of the hip injury, was just too much. I said, listen, like, I need surgery. And maybe this is something I've talked about at the time. When I left Motor City and decided that I was done, I want to go get hip surgery, there was the option to go get another cortisone shot and it would have been good and I could have just kept going. But I looked at it as the cortisone is doing continuous damage to my knee, which I don't want to incur, and I don't know the long-term effects. Nobody really does until it happens. And I'm also not getting any playing time. Like, we're talking, it's the beginning of December. I've gotten 2 games in, both which I don't believe they generally put me in on purpose. It was just like I was the worst case backup situation and I just so happened to be backing up. Granted, I am undefeated both in the FPHL and in life because of that one game. Yep. As Dave said, to put on my tombstone, he's undefeated at life. What undefeated. F? We don't know. In life.
I still think you should have put the stats on the back of the hockey cards for the Patreon members. Undefeated. That's all it had to say. Stats. Undefeated.
No year, no team, no games played. Undefeated.
Undefeated.
Bold italics. But so I just decided, I was like, I'm not going to be getting any games anytime soon. I'm just destroying my health and my lower body with the cortisone shots. Why don't I just look at this as an opportunity? I've got my foot in the door. The vlog's doing big numbers. The podcast is doing very well. Like, people are aware of me. I've had one team, which again, we can't name for obvious reasons, has made 3 trade attempts for me, all being declined by Motor City. There's interest. This isn't going to be the last time I play in the FHL. Let's just go get the surgery, take care of what needs to be done. And then I can be the goalie that I want to be. There's no excuses. There's no, injuries or health issues holding me back, which is exactly what I did. And then fast forward to the expansion draft 2 weeks ago, last week, whatever it was. And I'm now a member of the Wyattville Express, which we're going to continue calling them from this point forward.
Who are you with? We're with Withville.
There we go. Much better. But that's basically the Motor City story. And I just wanted to say that, maybe things weren't perfect in Motor City at all times. Maybe lack of communication from the management to me and back and forth, or vice versa. But to anybody watching in Motor City, if you remember the management, the team, guys like Everett Thompson, who were treating me incredibly, that not to be confused with Big Sexy. Big Sexy's his own animal. But E.T. Everett Thompson, who's now playing in Watertown, amazing guy. Thank you to him for all the hospitality. Thank you to Von Klaus and his mom, Mitzi, who would do team meals, team dinner every Wednesday night with, you know, she made the best brownies, by the way, Dave. When I go back to Motor City next year, I would like to request somebody please send this to Mitzi Clauston. I would like brownies and a black coffee and a big bucket of brownies that she would make. The best brownies ever. Incredible brownies. So good.
Man, I can't wait for your homecoming game back in Motor City. Out of curiosity, is the travel going to be any better or worse than in Motor City?
Oh, it's definitely going to get better. So Whitville is not too far away from Carolina, which is not too far away from Columbus, which then the opposite direction is not too far away from New York, as opposed to Motor City, where you got Port Huron 45 minutes away, or everything else is 10 to 18 hours. I believe they flew down to Mississippi is what I was told, actually. Hmm. I don't know how they afforded a plane. Be, you know, incredible if they ended up flying halfway, the plane broke down, they pushed it the rest of the way, which would be the most FPHL thing I ever heard of, but... the travel schedule should be a little bit better. I'm not saying the Motor City Rockers are broke. I'm just saying that you know, sometimes you know, things happen in the FPHL that you don't expect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, like we said, it's a traveling circus, man. Expect the unexpected.
But to finish what I was saying, though, to everybody in Motor City, and especially you know GM Nick Field, although maybe we didn't get you know didn't get along eye to eye all the time. Thank you for giving me an opportunity. Thank you for believing in me. Thank you for allowing me to put me in a position to go forward with the Whitville Express Pro Hockey Team and follow up my dreams and carry my dreams of being an elite FPHL goalie and ultimately a top three goalie at some point in the future. When? I don't know. I'm trying to get a backup job, become a great backup, and then work from there. But all this is possible because you know Nick believed me, the team assigned me, and I got an opportunity, and here we are. So,
and you got some great merch out of it, too.
Yes, I did. I rated everything that wasn't nailed down as far as shirts and shorts and bags and jerseys and socks and everything. I'm decked out head to toe in purple. Now, I don't know what to do with it, though, because now I have my Motor City practice jersey and socks, and I have all this purple in my equipment, and I highly doubt that the Whitfield team is going to be purple. So there'll definitely be some new gear coming out very soon.
There you go. That's why I remember through the 80s and 90s, a lot of goaltenders, if they knew they were going to get traded a lot, they just wore white. It was just easier. If you're going to be a suitcase, just wear white. It goes with everything.
Actually, my agent was telling me the other day, we were talking on the phone. He's like, dude, just order white. You can get traded. You can dish, called up, sent down, whatever. Go back to Sweden. Go to Kazakhstan. You're fine. All white mm-hmm. matches. But I'm like, but I want to have good style. I want to have a custom mask. I want to look good. I want to look the part. Right? Look good, feel good, play good, get the confidence going. I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see what I want to do. I'm testing some new gear. I got my Warrior stuff. I got my my Sheath G6. I got my Sheath 20.2. I got my Sheath... Hyperlite 2 Vapor 90 stuff. I got a lot of stuff I'm testing just to kind of feel out what works best for me this season. But yeah, to everybody in Motor City, again, thank you so much. I'm not saying Motor City's a never again. I mean, maybe there's something pops up where I end up going back to Motor City. They trade for me or I don't know. Something crazy could happen. Again, keep in mind, I have not signed with Whitfield. They would have to sign me to play. But they have drafted me. They own my rights. And that's the situation as of mid-June 2023.
Okay. By the way, if you and I ever end up in the same city, because we seem to have been two ships in the night for the past year, one of these days, I'm going to come out to your practice. I'm going to fire a few biscuits at you. I'm going to slang a few biscuits at you.
That's actually, maybe we should do that for a promotional night. We'll do the opening night. I'm going to wrestle a bull in the middle of the Whitfield Fairgrounds Coliseum. And then maybe like a November. Maybe what about for military night? We'll have members of the military come down on the ice, and maybe they can come take breakaways on me. And every... puck I save, the team has to donate $20 to like Wounded Warriors or something like that.
These are all great ideas for the next for the first promo meeting in Whitfield for the Whitfield Express.
The only problem is I got to find a way to make some saves and they can cut the check. But until then, we'll have to work on the puck stopping side of things.
We'll have them shoot volleyballs.
Can you imagine the title of the video? Members of the U.S. military have their way with boy from Winnipeg.
Oh, the sensationalistic headlines continue. I love it.
Doesn't get any better. But that's FPHL news. You want to get to a little bit of NHL talk? I know Game 3 is going on right now between Vegas and Florida, Dave.
Yeah, as we're recording right now, it's currently 2-1 with about 10 minutes to go in the third period. So if Vegas goes up 3-0 in the series, oh boy, what an insurmountable mountain to climb.
I'd be so bummed if Florida gets swept. I just want to see Bobrovsky win. He's been so good. But as much credit as I've been giving Bobrovsky the last couple weeks, how good has Aiden Hill been? Aiden Hill, his stats are just as good as Bobrovsky's. 6'6", monster goaltender. He's carrying him all the way to the promised land. He has been so good. And that paddle save he made on Dylan Cousins the other night. If you watch his warm-up routine, that's what he does all at the end of practice or at the end of warm-ups. Last puck, pad stacks, windmills, style guy. Incredible.
Can I play the role of tinfoil hat wearing guy for a second?
Play the role, or you are the tinfoil hat guy?
Not normally when it comes to sports, but more so when it comes to life and aliens and government and that kind of stuff I love. But hear me out on this one. You've got a league who has really done a pretty good job for the most part of getting hockey teams set up in the big money areas of the United States of America. Can we agree on that?
Absolutely.
They're not batting 1,000. We know that. They've had to move a couple franchises. They still refuse to move one of them. But you've got one down in South Florida where you've already had Tampa Bay pick up some hardware, being the champ, so really good. Your Northern Florida's doing really good. But you've had kind of this white elephant in the room with the Florida Panthers, who initially when they were brought down, the selling point was, oh, there's a lot of snowbirds from up north that spend time in Florida, and that's where they go, so they're going to support the team. That was kind of the idea of doing that and putting them down there. And it never really panned out. They made the finals that one year. That's when the whole Scott Mellenby rat thing became a thing where they throw rats on the ice. And it was good, but regular season, I mean, it's friends and family only some nights when it's Tuesday night and you're playing Edmonton. Or, you know, it's not as well attended, we'll say. So you've got Florida, a wild card team coming in at the 8th seed, making it all the way to the finals, knocking off best team in the league. Knocking off the second best team in the league, knocking off the top team in the Metropolitan Division, and going to the Stanley Cup Finals against a team who said when they came into the league that they're going to win a Stanley Cup within the first 6 years. That was their goal.
Is that what they said? They said 6 years?
They said within 6 years they wanted to win a Stanley Cup.
Wow. Yep. They're going to get her done, possibly.
So I know the NFL has gone through its fair share of rigged conspiracies, but I don't know, man. On paper, this one just, it doesn't seem like it, and I know anything can happen in sports. I don't know. It just doesn't feel right.
I had that thought as well. I'm not going to lie. I have had that thought as well. Knowing, you know, talking to guys who play at the levels, like, it's hard to believe that, like, they could be influenced. I don't know if it's the officiating, is it, you know, Gary's got like something underneath the ice is like magnetic to the puck and the puck's bouncing this way when it shouldn't be going that way. I don't know.
You've got a seventh string goaltender in net for the Vegas Golden Knights.
I mean, to play devil's advocate though, I mean, like, you could say that the team's just that good. Like that's another thing too. Like, what are they going to do with their goalie situation?
You just spent the last 5 minutes talking about how amazing Aiden Hill has been, and he has, but that shouldn't happen. That's not a seven-string goaltender does not come in and put up goose eggs in the Stanley Cup Finals. That doesn't happen.
Shouldn't. I think that the gap is closed so much in the NHL from the best goalie to the worst goalie. I mean, you rewind 20 years ago, you had the Brodeurs, the Waz, the Hasicks, the Belfours. That was it. There's the middle guys, another big gap, and then the bottom guys. Like, it's as simple as that. Now you look, there really isn't that big of a gap between the best and the worst. I mean, like, there's obviously the best of the best, like the Vasilevskis and the Bobrovskis and the Hellebucks, my boy. But there really isn't that much anymore. Even, like, the start of the backup, like, everybody is just so good that you really could put anybody in on any given night. I mean, you look at even, like, the American League. Look at how many guys in the Always Hungry that you could probably pop into the Stanley Cup Final, and they do not too bad. Probably even a couple of East Coast guys. You could pop them in there. They're on NHL deals. They're just as good, just haven't had the opportunity in the seasoning. Like, the gap of talent at that level is so minute. It's incredible. But
yeah, I don't know, man. But again, and I know I'm going to get sensitive here because you got a buddy, but then why can't Edmonton or Toronto find decent goaltending? And those are both good hockey teams.
I feel like it's almost, not to make excuses, but it's a byproduct of the environment you're in, right? I mean, like, agree or disagree, if you put 2012 Jonathan Quick, who ran the Kings all the way to the Cup Final, one in himself, in net for Toronto that year, they're not making the playoffs. Like the team is awful. Or even, let's say, Tuukka Rask, 2014, when he won the Vezina, or Tim Thomas on that 2011 run with his beautiful band of bumblebee-colored men, the original six Boston Bruins. What a mouthful that one was. If you put him on Edmonton that season, like, they're not making the playoffs. Like the goaltender's got to be elite, but the team has to support them as well, I think. And you look at Vegas, you had Robin Lehner, who apparently is weighing in at over 300 pounds these days, which I kind of believe. Have you ever seen that guy? That dude does not have a neck at all.
No. No,
can you imagine seeing that guy behind a back alley like late at night? Like, there's Robin Leonard.
Man, he's a big boy. Don't mess with the goalie. They're crazy too.
Crazy. Yeah, I've heard that. Crazy sweet. By the way, sent Robin Leonard many messages about coming to the podcast. He's a Swede. I claim to be a Swede, although I look nothing like it. I love Sweden. I consider Sweden my home. And nothing. Just seen. Pigeon toss. See you later. Get out of here, Trev. We don't talk to guys in the FPHL and the National League.
Don't be that date sitting up at the window when it's already 11:30 at night waiting for your prom date to pick you up. By the way, congratulations to all the grads out there. It's graduation season. So, hey, you did it. Nice job. Enjoy. Get ready for life.
And you're going to get ready at life by picking up the new beard hedger from Manscaped.com. If you're graduating high school, university, prom, whatever it is, if you're graduating life, you can't be walking into places looking like a mop top. You can't be walking into places going for a date with uneven grizzle, right? You got to keep it tight. You got to keep it right. And that's where the Manscaped beard hedger comes in. It has 20 lengths, which are going to really dial it in. So if you look at me here in the video version, I got my mustache probably around a 14. And then I got the beard tapered down. I got that that jawline right now, Dave. Do I not? Do I not have that look?
I'm telling you, you're looking like a Spartan from 300.
I pray that some people are listening to the podcast and never seen what I look like, and they might believe me and realize that I don't look like a stump. But if you watch the video version, you know that that's the truth, actually. But the beard hedger is helping me not look as disgusting and unattractive and revolting. And the Manscaped beard hedger can help you as well. You go to the link in the video description at manscaped.com. Use the code BISKIT. BIZKIT, or the video script or the podcast notes on the Apple Spotify version. Same thing, BIZKIT. We get you 20% off the Manscaped Beard Hedger. And thanks to the team at Manscaped for partnering with the podcast, as they always do. And they will be into August.
I'm getting ready for a trim. Hopefully by next show on the YouTube, I'll be a little more cleaned up for you.
Are you going to go clean shaven like you used to do at the when you had the morning show on TV?
No. I'm too old for that. I have too many gray hairs to show off. I earned every one of these.
Speaking of gray hairs, you know who's showing their gray hair? The Canadian rail system. Can we get into that for just a brief moment, just to finish podcast?
Here we go.
Before everybody leaves, before everybody's like, all right, Trav, enough of the transportation talk. I have a hot theory.
Will this be the caboose of the podcast?
Probably the locomotive. We're going right up the ass of the competition. Michaels and McElroy are a freight train from hell.
Oh, man. Why did you have to bring it up? Now I want to talk another hour about the LIV Golf PGA Tour merger. But no, we'll do that another time. My God, have I got thoughts on that.
We can next week. We absolutely can. But for the meantime, so this is what I'm thinking here, okay? So the country of Canada, if you didn't know this, the country of Canada was founded on the railway. The railway ran coast to coast, and all the towns along the way were established because you had a railway. There was no cars, there was no highway, any of that kind of stuff. Obviously, you're not driving boats across Canada because there's no water. Well, that goes the whole way. Fast forward to here in 2023, all those towns no longer have train access. So for me, as somebody living in Vancouver, I can't go to Banff if I want to go for a weekend trip. I can't go to Revelstoke. I can't go to Kelowna. I can't go to Thunder Bay. I can't go to Regina or even Calgary. Like, how on earth does Calgary, of all the places, not have a long-distance passenger rail service that is affordable? I'm not talking about the Rocky Mountaineer that is, you know, $3,000-$4,000 a ticket each way, or the Royal Canadian Pacific for $15,000. I'm talking like easily accessible. I hop on here for $200-$300. I can get to Calgary and then come back like a Greyhound on trains. Like, how does Calgary not have that, right? And then you look at now the rail service in Canada. Okay, Vancouver has it, great. Edmonton, I don't really have any purpose in going to Edmonton, and I don't think many people do either outside of Dave, who would go to Edmonton to go to Fort McMurray. Saskatoon, the city that rhymes with fun, and then the city of Winnipeg, which is great because I can get from Winnipeg to Vancouver easily. But my Uncle Ed, he lives in Calgary. I want to see him in Calgary. Banff, my woman and I want to do a trip to Banff. We go every single month if there was a train that went there. But like Alberta and BC are in so desperate need of some upgraded passenger rail service because there's nothing out here. You take the bus, you get a car, or you get, you know, screwed. I was going to use some other choice words, but we don't do that in this show.
From interior BC out to Van, or towards Van, they're actually working on twinning, making it a 4-lane through the mountains instead of a 2-lane, because it's pretty gnarly if you've ever driven through the mountains. And I think that's one of the biggest hangups, is that they're going to have to go back to punching holes in the middle of mountains, man. And that TNT these days is not like it was back in the old days. They're like, all right, plug ears, let's go. I mean, it's just, that's a massive undertaking to get rail down where you're talking about. I don't think you could run them parallel to a lot of the roads that are already there. I just think that's a, as I mentioned earlier, an insurmountable task.
Well, here's the thing, though. You're not blasting any new holes through the mountains. You're using the same track and the same line that has been there since 1885. The thing is that they had the route going there from the inception all the way up until 1990, when the government came in and just said, this is costing us too much money, let's cut it. But the problem being is they cut the line where 500,000 people a year were going through, as opposed to they kept the line where only 100,000 people a year were going through. Like, that doesn't make any sense. 100,000 people go through Edmonton, 500,000 go through Calgary, but they cut that line. That's why there's more people going there. So you're using the exact same track. You're not blasting any new holes. I did see the twinning of the highways that you mentioned in our trip to Banff and Jasper last month. A lot of work going on along the entire highway, which is very much needed. Like you mentioned, very dangerous when you go in the winter. It's slushy, it's icy, it's snowing, which, again, very much needed. But it would just be nice if somebody who does own a vehicle.
For those that don't know, there's a highway. For those that don't know, there's a highway on the number one. The number one goes from coast to coast, all the way from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And when you're going through BC, you can take the Coquihalla. The Coquihalla is this beautiful, incredible road, but there's actually points where semi-trucks in the wintertime have to stop, load up their chains at the bottom of this hill, trek their way up all the way up the hill, go back down the other side so they don't slide, and once they get down, they take their chains off and they keep going. It's incredible, like some of the terrain that's up there.
When you say loading up the chain, what does that mean for somebody who doesn't understand, myself included?
So on all of those tires, like on those big 16-wheelers or 18-wheelers, they will go out and they will basically put steel lingerie on every single one of their tires. Like, it's like a chain cover that goes in and clips in and goes on top of the tire so you can get through the ice and snow and not slide all the way down the other side of the mountain. It's incredible.
Wouldn't it just be easier to just hop on the train? Just go down a waterfront in downtown Vancouver. Just go down to Pacific Central and just book it all the way down to Calgary, Regina, Winnipeg, Thunder Bay, even down to Montreal. Wouldn't that be easier than doing that, than chaining up your vehicle down the Coquihalla, Dave?
I don't understand why when Europe from all over came and colonized North America, why they didn't bring that great rail technology with them. I guess they just didn't have the foresight to realize how densely populated it would be. I don't know.
If you ever experienced a train over in Europe, like, it's incredible how they have these incredible high-speed trains that go 250, 300 kilometers an hour. Like, when I take the train from Gothenburg to Stockholm or vice versa, we're talking about essentially Winnipeg to Saskatoon, and they do it in less than 3 hours. If you want the high-speed version, they do it in 5 hours if you're not really, you know, pressed for time and you want the scenic view with the double-decker train, which is really cool, by the way. But they're doing it in 2.5 hours. In Canada, it takes you 14, almost 16 hours to do that same distance. Like, what is going on? Like, why?
Oh, hang on. Winnipeg to Saskatoon, you can get there in about, if you take the number 11 between Regina and Saskatoon, you can make it there in six.
We're talking about the train, though. Not the train. The train. Sorry. I don't know what vehicles are going, you know, 250 miles an hour in your neck of the woods, but over here they don't.
Mm.
But think about that. Like, why on earth would I ever want to take the train if it's going to take me 14 hours to get from Winnipeg to Saskatoon? It doesn't make any sense. As opposed to make high-speed rail, get some high-speed trains in there, buzz the thing all the way down, get it done in maybe 4 hours, 6 hours, high-speed it, and then have it be more accessible. I just don't understand why Canada and North America doesn't have high-speed train access.
And I don't think they will, especially with the way they're moving ahead with these 15-minute cities and trying to make everything accessible. I don't think they're going to be looking for people to go, hey, why don't you explore more?
I was having the same thought. As much as I would love this to live in Canada without a car, I may have to pick up some used hunk of junk off the lot and maybe get a car when I come back after next season and be more mobile, because taking the transit is a little bit of a hike. I slug it out every time I go to the rink. Having to go there and back eats up a lot of the day.
All right. Well, speaking of buses, let's park it.
And park it. Until next week, when we fire up the buggy and go again for another episode of the podcast. This is Sling the Biscuit, episode 45. My co-host Dave Wheeler, the number one morning show radio host in the city of Winnipeg, and myself, Travis Ridgen, the former starting right bench for the Motor City Rockers, now hopefully getting off the bench with the Wytheville Express pro hockey team in the FPHL. We do new episodes of the show every single Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 in Winnipeg, 9 in Calgary, 8 in the West Coast. If you want to join the Patreon page, it's $5 a month, help support the podcast and get some incredible perks as you see on the screen. Mr. Wheeler, it is a pleasure as always doing the show with you. Here's to 50 episodes and soon to be 100. 1 year of the podcast coming up next month together, you and I. Final words, closing comments, sir.
You haven't given me a goalie yet with the number.
I don't think any goalies wear number 45. Let us know in the comments section what goaltender in the National League has worn 45, because I don't know of any. We'll see you next week.